Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
She is in the house. Theory. She's on the phone. You're probably very close, too. Are you at the office right now?
No, I'm not. But I'm still getting used to my new intro. And hard for me not to. I'm sitting here chuckling and very, very happy with it. I couldn't have done it better myself.
It's excellent. I mean, let's be honest. You wrote it for Dave. And you were mad at Dave. No. Dave does an outstanding job at that. So it's very, yes. Very good. We got a lot to get to. Let's start with the mayoral race in the city of Minneapolis. And we had a debate this morning, 8 to 9:30. Can I start with that first? This is the biggest city in the state, last time I checked. Is this really the ideal time to have a debate, 8 to 9:30 a.m. on a Friday?
Well, apparently then we can talk about it all weekend. I don't know. I wasn't involved in planning it. But, I mean, with the internet now, Chad, people can rewatch it all they want.
That's true. So. And maybe they were thinking of us in cheers and jeers.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe they were. Neither one of us watched it. Both of us have read plenty of accounts. Before I get into some specifics, give me your overview from what you have consumed so far.
Well, I mean, clearly, Senator Fateh's trying to go hard at Mayor Fry. And I'm not sure. I mean, my take on it is it seemed like they covered a lot of ground. It didn't seem super high-minded when you have the challenger calling the incumbent mayor names. I mean, that feels a little...
A liar.
That's a little...
Modern-day politics, wrinkle. Right?
Well, it wrinkles a little bit, though, because, I mean, how does that advance discussion? I don't see that it does. It's like you do that kind of thing when you aren't well positioned to talk about policy. But then again, maybe I'm old school. So I thought that was a little harsh, but but yeah, I mean, and clearly there he's going after Fry and trying to dent him. So I don't know.
Let's get to a couple things, including what happened on Lake Street when clearly federal authorities came in, including ICE, and considering what's going on with the federal government, I don't fault the soul for thinking, now, wait a second, is this just an ICE raid? Well, it turns out there was a great deal of criminality that was found through that investigation. You had a strong reaction from those in the community who were furious. You had a strong reaction from many city council members, including Jason Chavez, who was on with us. And this came up, and Blois Olson is asking the state senator about some of the violence between some of the conflict, physical conflict between citizens and law enforcement, and the state senator saying that didn't happen. And to Blois's credit, because the video's everywhere, yes, it did. I mean, we know that took place. Then the state senator is saying, I wouldn't have any police there in any way because it's the federal government. They should be in charge. Okay, I feel like on the border situation, I applaud what the Trump administration has done. On the randomness of ICE agents pulling people from their stores, their businesses, wearing masks? No, I don't. Of course, I'm for all the criminal element for being captured. Everybody is. That's such a fake discussion. Like, oh, no, I'm not for those who are in this country who have committed crimes. No, they should stay. That's nonsense. But when Fate is saying, I don't want MPD to be involved in any way, first of all, it's pretty clear O'Hara and Fry have not come out and supported ICE. That's overwhelmingly clear. But if there's a disturbance in your city, Rochelle, I absolutely believe the city police should be there providing some sort of support, even if they don't agree with ICE. What do you think of that?
Well, absolutely. You can't just, and I mean, I think this, and I don't see how, I understand it's a very distressing situation for
sure.
A lot of people.
Yes.
But it's also one of those situations, and I'm not trying to excuse anything, but you got like a fog of war situation. The Trump administration is certainly not filling in, and arguably they should be, but they're not filling in the local people on what they're up to.
Mm-mm.
And so,
zero.
This was a situation where they didn't really know what was going on in real time, and there were false reports about what it was.
And, lies,
and
in fact.
Right. And so, I mean, sure, the senator can sit there and say, well, I'm not going to have local police involved, but I would argue they probably would be because, and we're talking hindsight here, nobody really knew what was happening in real time, and it's probably going to happen again.
So he's saying if he's the next mayor, that any disturbance which happens with a policy he doesn't agree with, he's going to instruct local police to not help out when hundreds or maybe thousands of citizens are involved? Come on. That just doesn't hold up.
Right, but this is also like this is sort of the power of being the challenger. Mm. You're not the mayor right now, so you can sit there and say what you would have done or could have done or should have done, and then point to the other guy and say what they didn't do. I mean, that's the power of being the challenger, is that you have a cleaner slate in some way.
Let's stay with police, because the mayor flat out said Fate has supported defunding the police. Fate says, no, that's a lie. But then let's remember, in his Senate campaign literature, when we had the vote in Minneapolis on dismantling the Minneapolis Police Department and creating a new public safety department, he was for it, and it included a sign with city council members in front of it saying, defund police. I mean, he's just lying there. I mean, it's just a lie.
Well, it certainly seems to be a little revisionist. I'm not going to, people can decide whether he's being truthful or not. But
I will say.
But, I mean, look, I mean, I covered City Hall at the turn of the century, Chad, and police issues have always and will always be a huge deal. And in some way, I mean, always, and this was two decades before George Floyd and Donald Trump and ICE and these, there's guns, there's violence. It's always going to be top of mind in the city. And I guess you sort of have to decide who you're more comfortable with who overseeing the police department or hiring the police chief. I mean, who do you trust more?
And you're saying this, when you're the prime opponent to someone right now, Jacob Fry is established. There are people who love him. There are people who loathe him. There are people who can't stand his policies. There are people who embrace his policies. When he's as established as he is with multiple terms of the council, you know where he stands. You're examining the top contender who many people think has a realistic chance to beat him. And so he's going to draw more scrutiny, or she would draw more scrutiny. That's just the pattern of it. So let's get to this part, too, because we have such a staggering amount of fraud in this state. And he's been a part of an investigation on this by media outlets, where he had a bill that would have allowed county case managers to get people into the housing stabilization Services Program, which is now fraud-rit, okay? Mm-hmm. His wife co-founded a program designed to offer services under the program. She never operated. And as your paper reports, it's not just Care 11, but other outlets have suggested a conflict of interest, okay? I think that's fair scrutiny on what he said then compared to what he's saying now.
Well, and I thought it was interesting because contrary, again, what he said in the debate is he tried to delegitimize that Care 11 story. And I know from multiple channels and multiple channels that story was more than solid. The senator tried to delegitimize it by saying, well, it was a false story. It's not a false story. It's very good reporting. And I think the question, he dismisses it just by saying, oh, my wife, she started the company, but she never took any money. Well, okay,
yeah.
But why did she start the company?
Right.
Was there intent there to take money? And then when this fund sort of, clearly the feds are on top of it now, when that sort of, and he was trying to make it easier to get money out the door.
Correct.
For this fund.
And you better acknowledge, and you have to acknowledge that. If you have, let alone any family member, let alone a wife involved, come on, that has to be part of the conversation.
And why was she also working in some capacity for Hennepin County in a position that would have sort of enabled her to work with people who might be potential recipients of that money?
And he
can't just dismiss that. And also, you know, go back to the claims of election fraud. I mean, he also dismisses that. Meanwhile, he's also, I'd like to see him maybe take a little bolder stand against fraud,
mm-hmm.
I guess,
yeah.
Overall, because that's not going away.
Let's pause right here because we have someone else who is suggesting right now, the lead story in the Star Tribune, that he is ready to run right into that governor's race against Tim Walz. I'll tell you the name when we come back. I want to tell you right now about Stretch Lab. And maybe speaking of running, maybe you're a runner. Maybe you just go walk. Maybe you bike. Maybe you golf. Maybe you sit on the couch. Maybe you're into Pilates. Whatever. There's never any reason why you shouldn't check out Stretch Lab. You're the fittest person. You're someone who doesn't even care about your fitness. They can help you out. You could be 12. You could be 92. Dozen plus locations in the metro area. I'm a customer for 6 years. Family members a customer. Friends a customer. And thousands and thousands and thousands of others in this state. Trained professionals. Get that first 50-minute session. You're going to feel taller. You're going to feel a little more flexibility. You'll feel a little more pliable. And you're going to wonder why you didn't go there sooner. Maybe it's this weekend. Maybe it's today. Maybe it's Saturday. Maybe it's next week. Find a location in the metro area close to you. Check it out. StretchLab.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to read the first three graphs of the play story in the Star Tribune as we continue with our friend Rochelle Olson. We'll get to some cheers and jeers. We just have a lot of stories that are breaking. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, oh, goody, is moving closer to run for Minnesota governor, saying he has reestablished his residency in the state. Lindell said he owns homes here and in Texas, acknowledged earlier this year that he needed to reestablish his Minnesota residency. In an interview this week, Lindell said he's also polled hypothetical matchups against Tim Walz. We're about 99% there. I love the state. I love the country. And if I'm the only one that can win, that would be a shame if this opportunity slipped by. The next graph says this. Cheers and Jeers columnist Rochelle Olson is reportedly considering stepping down from a role at the Star Tribune and becoming the press secretary for Mike Lindell's campaign. Is that part correct? Did I read that properly?
I think you misread that. I don't think that's accurate. In fact, I can say with 100% certainty it's not. But I mean, I kind of hope this isn't true. I mean, I know that part's not true, but I hope this isn't true about Mike Lindell running for governor here in Minnesota.
Come on, we want the drama. We want the story, right?
He's running as a Republican? Is that what he said?
Well, he's not running as a Democrat. I'm going to go out on a limb there.
He's a third party person.
No, man. He's as MAGA as it gets. He's running as a Republican.
Well, as Minnesota has rejected MAGA on the ballot 3 times,
yep.
So in terms of President Trump, but it would be, I think, an unfortunate sideshow. And just really unfortunate. I mean, we talked last week about former Governor Pawlenty being asked to run for Senate and not being interested. You know, he can't get the endorsement and doesn't think he can get through a primary. And it's like it would just be a shame. I'd just like to see a stronger candidate than Mike Lindell, who, by the way, doesn't he get multiple bankruptcies going on?
Endless
and
amount.
He's up to his eyeballs in
lawsuits that he loses over and over again. He has 0.0% chance of even coming close to winning the race.
Well, you say that, but
no way.
We saw a few years ago someone who got endorsed in the U.S. Senate race in the Republican Party, which, you know,
that
shouldn't
have
been endorsed. Right. It didn't work out very well. But it's just, again, it's unfortunate. We need a stronger Republican candidate. He's not it. He is not the alternative to Tim Walz, I'm sorry to say.
And again,
regardless of what his polling may show.
Yes.
I don't think it's accurate. He may need a new pollster.
Yeah. I'm sure it's really detached, too. Yeah. And I'm the one on the record here saying the Democrats should have a better choice than Tim Walz. Okay. I'm not here endorsing Tim Walz. I am telling you he's vulnerable, but not to Mike Lindell. I tried with the House Speaker. I mentioned that last week. I asked her 4 different ways to see if she would run. I'm waiting, and Kristen Robbins maybe gets traction. I don't see it for Kenneth Qualls. I don't see it for Scott Jensen. There's no chance Mike Lindell. I just want to see if they're going to offer up somebody's viable. What do you think the likelihood is that Stauber would jump in? Emmer's too powerful. He could be the Speaker of the House with one Trump temper tantrum, so he's not leaving. What about Stauber in the race?
I don't think he's a great option for the Republican Party. No, I mean, he's never run statewide before. I don't think he'd be a great alternative. And I agree that Walz in the third term, I think it's vulnerable. I don't know that there's a lot of enthusiasm for him, even among the casual voters. I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing the enthusiasm for him, which means it's an opportunity for Republicans, and I don't think Pete Stauber's the guy to take advantage of it.
You've covered the possibility of a special session very closely. Governor met with bipartisan leaders yesterday, meeting again today. Jason posed this question the other day, so I'm going to pose it to you. Let's say Walz, after meeting with Damoth and others, knows that the votes aren't there for significant gun legislation. He can't get that, but he can get other areas where he thinks they can make some progress. And even if they're backed more by Republicans than Democrats, under that scenario, should Tim Walz still call a special session?
When you talk about, are you talking about other areas regarding gun safety?
I mean, not the major ones. Not the major ones. Maybe more mental health, more the thing that Republicans talk about. And if it's guns, it's not anything with banning assault rifles. Because let's be honest, that's not going to happen.
Well, I don't think there's any particularly well for. I mean, they talk about mental health, but that's really just in. That's just a what would you say? Sort of a means to not talk about guns. I don't think there.
Don't you think it's both? I think it's both. I think we need.
I think it's both, but I mean, I mean, sure, you could. Yes, our mental health system is people falling through the cracks every 10 minutes. I mean,
yep.
That's not hard to point out, but it's also it's harder to get a handle on. It's easy to talk about, but when you have a mentally ill person, an unstable person, walking into the gun shop in St. Louis Park and casually buying a gun, and nobody sees any red flags, maybe they shouldn't. Maybe it shouldn't be so easy to buy an assault rifle. I don't know what proposal they're going to vote on. I mean, I think Walz would, I don't know, I think he would welcome progress, but it's not going to be some just nebulous thing about throwing a couple million more at mental health.
And I will say this, just to back up what you're saying. There are many times the two of us have either witnessed or interviewed folks where Republicans are unwilling to be specific on guns, and they pivot so fast to mental health. I'm just at a point where I want to see some states, including ours, try some things, including ideas that conceptually I'm not sure they're going to work, but let's try it for a couple of years and see if we actually make progress.
Okay, but fine. I mean, what are you talking about trying? I mean, that would be my question. It's easy to say, oh, you want to try stuff, but you need to be specific.
Okay, so I'll give you one. I have always thought this idea of arming teachers is dangerous and they're not prepared for it. But guess what? In some states, they've had success. So not necessarily Minnesota, or maybe it is Minnesota. Because, again, I don't think it works. I don't. But I'm so tired of us doing nothing. If we have to look at other ideas that you think, this really isn't going to do something, but states actually try it, and then for 2 years maybe say, I told you it wouldn't help, or guess what? It turns out it did help. Why can't we do a little bit more of that?
Well, I definitely don't. I mean, teachers are already drowning in work, and
that was just one example.
I know, but I mean, this, again, is just, I think it's just a means to not, somebody tell me why we need to have such easy access to these assault rifles.
What if somebody says to you, the majority of these daily killings, not the ones, Annunciation, not Charlie Kirk, but the daily ones that occur too much in big cities, they happen with handguns. And so why aren't we talking more about handguns and assault rifles?
Well, and suicides, by the way.
Yeah, right.
I mean, well, because we can't even, we're not talking about handguns because Republicans won't even talk about assault rifles. So forget, I mean, there's no way they're going to talk about limiting handguns when they won't even have a conversation about limiting these, as some people like to call them, weapons of war. So, I mean, how are we going to get to talking about handguns? We can't have any sort of conversation about guns.
Which is why nothing is going to happen with a special session.
I don't disagree with that. And it's just incredibly frustrating, and it's going to happen again. It's not a matter of if, but when and where. It's going to be awful again.
Yeah. Could happen this afternoon anywhere. That's where we're at in our world. Great stuff. Thank you so much, because I know you've been busy today. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.
All right.
Rochelle Olson, cheers and jeers. Buckle up, everybody. With Lindsey Brown, this is a typical, am I wrong? Fridays, overrated. Am I wrong? I mean, Dave built up. Dave just loves the sound of his own voice. You know, I don't give him a chance to talk much because I want to just talk and talk and talk. Lindsey just gets to the point right away. The bar is clearly better than the table to bar. Am I wrong? You know, so get ready for those comments next with Am I Wrong?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.